Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Ron.
I'm Jean Marie.
And I'm Lita.
You switched it off.
I did. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about the complex world of multiple chronic illnesses with Christy Amos. Christy is a compassionate and resilient individual who has dedicated her life to helping others navigate the challenges of living with chronic illnesses. Despite her own battles with multiple chronic health conditions, she has become a powerful patient advocate, leveraging her personal experience to support and empower others. As a freelance author, she shares her experience and insights on living with chronic conditions, providing education, comfort, and inspiration to those affected. Hello, Christy, and thank you so much for joining our show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good, good, good. We're glad you're here. Christy, this is Ron, and I guess to just jump right into it, what chronic illnesses are we going to be discussing today?
I have a lot of different illnesses that we can talk about. Everything from Ehlers-Danlos syndrome to asthma. I have chronic migraines, immunodeficiency, and autoimmune hives as well.
Autoimmune hives. Oh.
And
I don't think we've ever talked to anyone with that. Mm-mm. And that sounds horrible. And I think, if I remember right, those can affect you anywhere in your body, including inside. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's a hard one to... Let's talk about that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's called chronic spontaneous urticaria. Urticaria means hives. Spontaneous means it just comes out of nowhere. And it is a chronic condition. With chronic hives, there are primarily two manifestations. The first is obviously the hives. The second is angioedema, so any kind of swelling. And that's what can affect, like, internally. But I mainly get it, like, in my face, in my mouth. It very rarely affects my airway, but I can still feel, like, the swelling and just, it's very uncomfortable.
I can imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine, actually. That sounds terrible. So are those the symptoms that led to your diagnosis? And are those typical symptoms making it easy to diagnose?
Yeah. So, like I said, mine is primarily in my face. I don't get a whole lot of the actual hives, which made it a little bit more difficult to diagnose. I do occasionally get some odd hives, but just mostly the swelling. So it was a little bit more challenging to kind of pinpoint exactly what was causing swelling because it wasn't an anaphylactic reaction. It wasn't responding to medications that treat anaphylaxis. So I actually went through three different physicians before getting a diagnosis.
Okay. And just a follow-up, if I may, have you been tested for mast cell activation syndrome also?
Yes. So that's what we originally went in to test for. And they share some very, very similar characteristics. But with the autoimmune hive, autoimmune meaning it comes from within. Mm-hmm. So my body is attacking its own mast cell. Versus with mast cell activation syndrome, it's like a histamine response more to external factors. So it's internal versus external.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Christy, one of the questions that we usually ask, did you have a triggering event or anything that you had happen or before you started experiencing any of the symptoms that you just mentioned, or were you sick, or how did it first happen?
So it really just kind of came up one day. I was actually in the hospital with a migraine at in Philadelphia and started noticing galling in my face. And I had never had it before, never thinking it was possibly an allergic reaction to one of the medications they were giving me. But it persisted despite the treatment. And I think that was the very first episode I remember. And one of the things that's interesting about chronic hives is that there are periods of remission. So it's not a continuous issue. So I can have it for a year at a time and go into remission for a month or a year or two, and then it'll just pop back up. So I had like a single episode and then it disappeared. So we didn't really pursue it at that point because it seemed very isolated. But I think it was summer that I started to have more of the facial swelling that we decided to pursue to figure out what it was.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep bouncing in and out. Mm-hmm. What age were you when all this started?
Let's see. I was probably 30 or 31.
Okay. I was just trying to, I always try to put ideas in people's heads that are listening to think, I wonder if it's this, or I wonder if, you know, like what caused it. And sometimes age-related things can make a difference.
Like if you're going, hormonal changes.
Okay. I was thinking hormonal changes, but obviously not, because that's a pretty stable year, 30.
But you said it lasted, I mean, an episode can last up to a year?
Yeah. So, I mean, it can last longer than a year. And it's very difficult to manage. There are treatments out there that can help with the symptoms. But it can, I mean, even with treatment, it can be very difficult to control.
I could imagine.
Yeah. And was the diagnosis basically a process of elimination?
So there's actually a specific test it is called the CU index, so chronic urticaria index. Okay. And the normal range is 1 to 10, and anything above 10 is indicative of chronic spontaneous urticaria. And I actually tested at a 40.
Oh, my goodness. You won.
Wow. So once we had that test, it was very, very obvious that's what my issue was.
Yeah.
So I guess a follow-up question to that is, how common is this? I mean, I'm not sure about Lita or Jean. I have not heard of this before. Is it something very rare, or is it somewhat common?
It's actually pretty rare. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but there's also a lot of different things that are considered chronic hives versus chronic spontaneous urticaria. So there's a lot of overlap and confusion about what the source of the hives are. So the chronic hives, the definition is having hives for 6 weeks or longer. And so hives can come from any number of things. It can come from medication, it can come from environmental issues. So kind of figuring out what the actual cause is makes it, lots of people say that they have chronic hives, and they do, but even a smaller percentage of those people have the autoimmune issue.
Okay.
And said it's, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jean.
No, I was just going to ask, and who is your go-to healthcare provider for this condition? Is it a dermatologist or?
Rheumatologist
or immunologist?
So my primary doctor is the allergy immunologist, and then we also consult with a dermatologist as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I know when it comes to skin conditions, they can be challenging to diagnose, and I mean, not to get totally off subject, but like, for example, my mother went in with a rash, and she was told that it was shingles. And we knew, like, I looked at her and I said, it's not shingles. She's like, but the ER doctor said it was shingles. I'm like, well, I hate to say it, but I don't think the ER doctor's ever seen shingles because that's not shingles. And in one of my favorite books, Thank You for My Service, he goes in to a healthcare provider and they diagnose him with something. And it's challenging. Skin conditions are really challenging. So I'm glad you found a primary and someone to consult with the primary that, you know, they can work hand in hand. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy, how has your healthcare team chosen to treat this condition? What kind of medications or?
Well, you said it's more mitigating the symptoms. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I thought you said there was something that could help the symptoms.
Okay. Yeah, it's a depth treatment like with many other illnesses. It starts with very high dose antihistamine. So I take Zyrtec the recommended dose of that for most people is 10 milligrams once a day. I take milligrams twice a day.
How many?
My mom, 20 milligrams.
Okay. So 20 twice a day.
Okay.
I take full Zyrtec every day.
Okay.
And that's kind of the basis of the treatment. Then you can get into the biologic. There's Xolair, which is primarily the preferred biologic for autoimmune hives. I have other problems that make Xolair not effective for me, so I take something called Dupixent, which also helps with my asthma, so it kind of serves a dual purpose. What put me into remission was an immunosuppressant medication, which I eventually had to come off of because my body wasn't metabolizing it, but that put me into remission. But there are other things that we have considered when my hives come back. It's also very difficult because I have a history of pulmonary embolisms, and so some of the medication used to treat chronic hives can actually cause blood clots. We have to be very careful. Sure. Moving forward with what we can use. And surprisingly, heparin is part of the histamine pathway. And so one of the things that we have potentially in the future, if and when my hives do come back, is to switch my blood thinner from Eliquis to heparin, which isn't ideal and is probably not something that would be chosen for most individuals with hives. But since I have to be on blood thinners anyway, it's one of the top ones on the table to pursue in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, in building on that and the histamine pathway, what role does nutrition play? And have you found that any foods can make your symptoms better or worse? And specifically, I'm thinking about pineapple and bromelain acid because it can help reduce the amount of histamine your body produces, and also just it helps reduce the body's inflammation response.
Well, if I wasn't allergic to pineapple,
might
be something to consider.
Oh, Christy, I just want to give you a hug.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Okay.
You're fired.
I am fired. I didn't know.
Well, this goes to show.
This is why we're not medical professionals.
No, this goes to show how important it is to get a complete patient workout.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Well, oh, I'm so sorry.
So, Christy, what have you done, like with your daily activities? Have you had to modify them to manage the symptoms? Or what's your daily life like?
With hives.
Complicated.
Like not your day-to-day life, but when you have hives, how does it affect you? How's that?
So the trigger for my hives varies, just like whether I have hives today or not varies.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my biggest triggers is getting overheated or being out in the sun. So especially in the summertime, I have to be really careful about how long I'm outside and if I'm doing any kind of exertion, because it can certainly cause an episode.
Okay. And that kind of leads right into my question is, how do you stay active when that, you know, when perspiring and exertion can result in hives? Can you, are there any modifications? Oh, I'm sorry.
I go for a walk first thing in the morning.
Okay.
I try and get up 6:30, 7 o'clock when it's cool outside and walk then, instead of trying to go out in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. Good advice. That's what we've been doing lately with our dog walks, because I don't want my dog to walk on hot pavement, and we don't like walking in heat. We just don't like it, but it's not a health problem for us. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you found something that you can work around. Christy, what do you feel is the most misunderstood part of chronic autoimmune hives?
I think for me, like looking at Facebook groups and stuff like that, people are always searching for, well, what's causing my hives? What can I do to augment my symptoms? And for the actual autoimmune hives, there's nothing you can do. Like we talked about nutrition earlier, mm-hmm. there's not a whole lot that I can do. Like, I can't cut out this food. A low histamine diet isn't helpful. Mm-hmm. Pursuing allergies isn't going to reveal anything that can ameliorate my symptoms.
Okay.
So it's more just managing them with medication, unfortunately.
And just kind of reacting to when it flares up.
Day.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. To better serve our listening audience, we are an affiliate of a major medical supplier in the United States. You will find affiliate links on our website, Podcast DX. They aim to tailor specific medical supplies and equipment based on your diagnoses to make it less stressful than looking through an entire catalog for what you might need. We are open to your suggestions and will adjust our offerings based on what you, our listeners, find helpful.
And now back to the show. Christy, do alternative therapies like massage, acupuncture, heat, or ice alleviate any of the symptoms? I didn't think but I might as well ask. You never know.
Does ice or cool air make you feel more comfortable at least?
Yeah, it can make me feel better, but it's not going to get rid
of it. Take care of it, right. Okay. But any little bit of comfort, I guess, would be good. And heat, obviously, no, but maybe ice.
So Christy, the next question is probably not as people, it's just, I guess I'll just ask it, what are some less apparent parts of your life that have been affected? Like, I mean, again, so you try to stay out, stay away from going outside during the heat and things like that. These are some really big things. What about some of the smaller but still very important things that people might not, you know, think about?
With a lot of chronic illness, we talk about the visible and the invisible mm-hmm. aspects of it. And with chronic hives, there's both. A lot of things like EDS or asthma or diabetes are very invisible, but chronic hives can be very visible. And so there is, it can affect self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
It can make me want to stay inside and avoid interacting with people. So it can be very isolating and just very uncomfortable, because a lot of times there's nothing that can really be done when my symptoms are flaring.
Okay. I'm going to follow up on Ron's question a little bit. Earlier, we were saying that hives can be internal as well, and walking down the street, you wouldn't know that person over there has internal hives that are absolutely driving them up a wall right now. But do you always get a combination, so internal and external, or can it be one or the other?
It can be a combination. I don't get internal hives a whole lot, but I do occasionally, and it's more just like stomach pain or kind of a bloated feeling.
Okay. And your throat, you said?
The most irritating is when my mouth and throat are swollen because I feel like I'm choking. I'm not, but it's a very, very, very uncomfortable and concerning feeling.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you're going through that.
So again, Chris, I'm sorry. What was that?
I said I'm in remission right now. So
that's good. Excellent. So you earlier mentioned about it can be isolating. Do you have somebody that you can talk with? Or, you know, when you think about isolation, you think all alone, and that's when, you know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemies with our thoughts. I mean, do you talk to anybody? Do you have confidants or things like that where you can just get things off your chest?
Yeah, so I actually talked to a counselor. I've been in and out of therapy for many years, but I have an excellent therapist right now. She is a PhD in rehabilitation counseling, and she works with patients like me that have chronic illnesses and illnesses that are very impactful on daily living. And so she has been very instrumental in how I process all of my different disorders and deal with isolation. And now that COVID isn't over, but it's kind of on the back burner now, I've been able to venture out a little bit more and interact. So it's definitely been an adjustment for me to get back into quote unquote the real world, but it's very good for me psychologically.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And Christy, I'm wondering, what led you to be an advocate and to write about healthcare and your condition? And is that a means for you also to connect with other people?
Yeah. So with all of my chronic illnesses, I do not work. I have not worked for many years.
Okay.
And that also is very isolating. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found is talking with other people who are newly diagnosed with different conditions, because I unfortunately have a lot of experience with chronic illness. And I love being able to share my experience in such a way that helps other people. And so that led to, I started writing for a couple of different health websites, chronichives.com and asthma.net. And it's very cathartic to be able to share my experience and get feedback from people who are going through the same thing. And also, I'm sure you guys know all too well that the health system is unmanageable and hard to navigate. And so helping people, my focus on advocacy is practical solutions, because a lot of it I feel like is theoretical. Like, what is advocacy? What does it mean? How do you implement it? And I feel like so much of it is abstract. And so I talk about talking to your insurance company, calling them every day to make sure that they're processing your information, communicating with your doctors, making sure that your doctors are communicating with each other. And so I like to share my experience with being pushy and obnoxious with the healthcare system, because that's what gets it done. And so that's kind of my focus on advocacy, is like the real practical, do X, Y, and Z, And that's how you're going to be successful in navigating chronic illness.
That's excellent. Yeah,
I mean, it's a a spider web trying to navigate insurance companies. So for sure. Hats off to you for staying on them.
And I would highly recommend a group that I met on, we met Kathy during an interview, but Kathy Reagan Young operates a group called Patients Getting Paid. And it's an excellent group, and they are also advocates, but she's putting her advocacy to work by helping people that aren't working learn and develop new tools that might help them to be productive, just like you're doing. And mm-hmm. you might want to check her out and check out that group, because I think you have a lot of good advice for people.
Thank you. Yeah, I will definitely look into that.
And Christy, what support have you received during this, your healthcare journey? What role have friends and family played?
Because chronic illness is so encompassing, I have been very, very purposeful in building a support system. Okay. Everything from neighbors who can help me with my dog. I have dog sitters and dog walkers that can come and help me when I need it. I have a very supportive church family and small group that are very helpful. And then, of course, family who supports me, and they do their best to understand my position. So just very purposeful about building up those walls so that when I do have struggles, I know exactly who I can go to for any particular issue.
That's wonderful. That's a great, great list to make. What role has self-care played in your life recently?
Self-care is the single most important thing that you can do with chronic illness. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to figure out what those things are that bring you the most comfort and the most joy. For me, it's any kind of craft, any kind of hands-on sewing, making, doing, painting. If I can get my hands in it, that's what I do. And honestly, that's what I spend most of my days doing. If I'm not at doctor's appointments, I'm engaging in self-care.
Are some of the paintings behind you work that you've done?
I like very
them.
Nice.
I like them.
Thank you. Yep, and cool. I do miniatures too. I have a couple over here.
Wow.
Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, you and my daughter Jean over here would really.
I like anything really tiny or really oversized, so I love playing with scale.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking to Lita and me, and we're both rec therapists, so we understand. Not that Jean doesn't, of course she does, but
that's okay.
How important it is, you know, to keep yourself engaged in something that you enjoy doing, especially when you know you have a lot of time.
And you're dealing, you don't want to.
Some people, when they're chronically ill, they might be a oh, woe is me person, and that oh, woe is me holds them down. You need to lift yourself up in order to.
Well, I don't know if you can always lift yourself
up. So, like with sewing, or did you do that prior to your illness, or was that something you picked up?
So, different activities I've picked up along the way.
Okay.
I've been sewing for, 25 years. Okay. And I've been doing it ever since. I picked up miniatures over the pandemic because I needed something to fill my time with. And so I built a dollhouse out of cardboard and taught myself how to make miniatures. And I have a real wooden dollhouse that I'm in the process of finishing.
Nice.
Very nice.
Very good.
There's a competitive miniature show.
We knew this was coming.
In Canada. And I still haven't figured out exactly how to access it, because you can't access it
online.
And you can't access it online. You can't access it through the internet. I got a host server in Canada, and I still can't access it because of my phone. Yeah, but I will get there eventually, and I will send you a link.
I think you can download the Canada television app. I'm not sure.
I tried, and it said no because my phone is registered in the U.S. So I might have to get a separate phone, which seems a little bit extreme, but it might come to that.
Maybe I'll just take her to Canada.
There you go.
Check out that. Sounds cheaper.
Yeah.
Anyways, where were we?
I was wondering, Christy, what advice do you have for someone who is recently diagnosed with this condition?
Be patient. Once you get a diagnosis, I feel like a lot of people, and I've been in this situation too, it's like, okay, well, now that we know what it is, there's a solution, right? Mm-hmm. And like we talked about before, the treatment plan for chronic hives can be arduous, and it takes a lot of trial and error to figure out what will and what won't work. And so I would say patience and communicating with your physicians, because they can't help you to the best of their ability if they don't know exactly what you're going through and how it's impacting your daily life.
Excellent advice. Thank you.
So, Christy, we want to thank you for coming on our show today and talking about your story. How can we or our listeners find out more information about you? Do you have any websites? Twitter?
You mentioned two places where we can find your writing.
Yes. So asthma.net and chronichives.com have a lot of my writing. Also in the process of making a YouTube channel. I have two videos posted right now, and it's called The Chronic Life Guide.
Okay.
And again, it's the practical tips. It's not specific to any diagnosis. Mm-hmm. It's practical tips for anybody with any kind of chronic illness to manage their daily lives and navigating the healthcare system.
Oh,
that's very good idea. Great idea.
Yeah. So it's available to a lot of people.
Right. Right. Thank you. Well, Christy, it was an honor to speak with you today. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry we had so many technical glitches, but we worked through them. And I guess maybe the hives just jumped into the electronics here, you know. But we'll get through it.
And let me know if you are able to crack the Canadian broadcasting system.
Yes, we would appreciate it.
But yeah, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and stay cool, because summer is...
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
If our listeners have any questions or comments about today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast.
And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.